Hello, this is the talk for St John's Church, Birkdale, for Sunday the 17th of March. Well, my wife Jean and I recently began watching a television drama about a cleaner and a millionaire and an impossibly large glass and chrome house. The poster I saw on a bus stop had tempted me with intrigue of mistaken or false identity. "He's not who she thinks he is," was the strapline. And, well, that can be a problem today, can't it? That with technology and artificial intelligence, it may not always be clear who someone actually is. People have had their lives ruined by fraudsters and trolls online who have convinced the victim that they are someone to be trusted and then been relieved of their savings or reputation. Identity is a big issue and a big deal, and sometimes it isn't easy to prove unless you have all the required documents. You know, you can't even get at your own money unless you can prove just who you are. So do we really know who people are? Even those who we think we do? Well, we've been finding out more about who Jesus really is in our continuing series of talks called Jesus from the Cradle to the Grave. We've considered him as a miracle worker or an amazing teacher, a friend, a leader. And last week, Tim spoke of Jesus's unconditional love for every one of us. This is one remarkable, life-changing person. And today we're exploring why he's known as the sacrificial lamb, sometimes called the paschal or Passover lamb. And Jesus is not a sacrificial lamb, you'll notice, but he's the sacrificial lamb. And to understand this, we'll need to go back into the Old Testament and look at tales of revenge and murder, but happily also of freedom and salvation. Tales where identity is crucial. Except these aren't tales, you know. They are history. And let's begin by opening the book of the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, the book that tells us how God delivered the tribes of Israel from slavery in Egypt and gave them the opportunity to form their own identity as a new nation. Identity is a main theme for us today. And the thing with true identity, you know, that it isn't the picture on your bus pass which counts. It's where you come from, your heritage, your ancestry, and your family. And although the events we're going to read about happened 1400 years before his birth, this is the ancestry of the baby born in the stable in Bethlehem. This is who Jesus is, and why he came to be crucified at Calvary and changed our lives forever. Now, I think most people know about Joseph, you know, the one with the colourful taste in coats. And you might remember that he ended up in Egypt with a really good job and that his family joined him. More came, and over 400 years, the Jewish tribes grew and prospered and then became a threat, or seen as a threat, to the power of the Pharaoh. He took action and ordered a mass killing of Jewish children. And when he needed slave labour for his vast building programme, guess who he forced to work for him? And this is where Moses enters the story, and encouraged by God, he went and asked, "Pharaoh, let my people go." But to cut a long story short, he didn't. Pharaoh tried to resist not only Moses, but also God. Now, we all know there is never any point in resisting God. And in a part of scripture that we do find a bit difficult, God revenged the Israelites and planned to strike down the Egyptians, but firstly made sure that his people would be safe. And so let's look at our reading. It's from Exodus chapter 12. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the doorframe. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. And when the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the doorframe and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, What does it mean? Then tell them it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. And if we were to read on, we would see that the Israelites did as God told them. And as God had said, death came to a lot of Egyptians. And Pharaoh, well, he couldn't wait to get the Jews out of his country. It was no more a case of let my people go, more a case of please, just go and take whatever you want. And that is the large-scale exit or exodus out of Egypt, heading out towards a promised land. And that's the second main theme today, freedom. But let's just consider the chapter of scripture a little bit more closely. In earlier verses to the ones I've just read out, there's a lot more about what the Lord instructed Moses and his people to do. The chosen lamb that had to be sacrificed had to be of the very finest quality. And we've mentioned that before, that only is the best is good enough for us to give back to the God who has been generous to us. They were told they had to eat bread with herbs, but no yeast, and to wear their travelling clothes as they ate. And this celebration was to be honoured every year at the same time with the same rituals. And each of those rituals signified the hardships that they had experienced and the speed with which they would flee from Egypt. But most importantly, they would represent a test. Because many times God's chosen people had just grown distant from him, and every time he forgave them and every time they drifted away again. So these were instructions that Israel needed to follow to show their obedience. And here also was a warning to Pharaoh to demonstrate God's power. Verse 12, God says, I will execute judgment on all the gods of Egypt. And there were a lot of them, for I am the Lord. So this was their chance to move forward with God as their protector, who would protect their very existence and start them on the journey away from oppression. The Passover lamb, the sacrificial lamb, would forgive their sins and become their identity and their freedom. And then they were told to use a bunch of hyssop to paint the blood onto the door frames. Why? Well, as we shall see, even small details in the Bible can emerge later with great significance. Well, I hope we can understand and respect these faithful Jewish traditions which are still undertaken today. But is it relevant to us? Well, their faithful observance was also intended for them as an act of remembrance. And that's my third key word for today, remembrance. I used the word oppression just before, and what a wonderful thing it must be to celebrate being freed from oppression. We thank God for what he did thousands of years ago, but also for what he's doing in our lives today. Do you feel oppressed at all? I don't expect that many of you are being asked to build a pyramid, but there are many other forms of enslavement for you. Do you feel trapped sometimes by physical or mental pressures? Is someone putting pressure on you, or maybe you're just putting pressure on yourself? What would you do to break free from that weight on your shoulders? Well, here are a couple of Bible verses that may offer you comfort. God offers rest from our burdens, Matthew chapter 11, and give your worries to God, for he cares about you, 1 Peter chapter 5. Whatever it is you would like to escape from, wherever it is that your freedom lies, remember that God hates the oppressor, and let him, our Lord, be your guide and your protector. Now you may be wondering why I'm wandering through the Old Testament, when surely we should be in the New Testament if we're looking at the life of Jesus. Well, this is because the Old Testament is the background to the life of Jesus. It's where his identity was developed. And the lamb and the blood that saved the Israelites at that first Passover meal were also symbols of a much greater salvation to come. And this allows us to move to the New Testament scriptures. Many centuries later, the man known as John the Baptist immediately recognized this. And on seeing Jesus for the very first time, he just shouted to everyone around him, "Look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." God demonstrated at Passover how he would save the Jews. And Jesus demonstrates to us how he can save all of us. And in 10 days' time, we're going to be approaching the holiest days of the year. And one of the first things we'll be remembering is that upper room and a final meal between Jesus and his followers. What we call the Last Supper, well, that is in effect a Passover meal. It's what the disciples thought they were going to, but what they got was very different. Yes, they had the unleavened bread and the wine, but if they had prepared the symbolic lamb for slaughter, well, they didn't need it, and we don't need it, because we all have Jesus instead. Of course, we can see a bit further ahead than the disciples. We know what happened on the following days. We know that Jesus suffered for our sake to give us hope and promises of salvation from all our miserable wrongdoings. All we have to do is to choose to believe in him and to follow him. The Apostle Paul tells us when writing to the early Christian church in Corinth, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. So let us celebrate the festival not by eating the old bread of wickedness and evil, but by eating the new bread of purity and truth. A life with Christ, in Christ, is a new beginning. Wherever you have started from, the faithful journey to salvation begins at the point where you meet him and ask him into your life. In Exodus, we see God bringing broken people out of chaos and darkness. And in the Gospels, we experience Jesus taking us out of our chaos, away from our separation from God, and leading us into our promised land, the kingdom of God. Jesus went to the cross to take on the burden of our sins and weaknesses, so we rightly call him our sacrificial lamb. And so if I can remind you of the three words for today, identity, freedom, and remembrance. On identity, well, there's views today, isn't there, that you can be whoever you want to be. Well, who you actually are, I would suggest, is someone with an identity that comes from God and through God, and from our ongoing personal relationship with him and his son. We don't stand still in that relationship any more than the Israelites did suffer and stay put in Egypt. In faith, we grow and move forward. We do it in this church, in our relationship with each other, and indeed those we have yet to meet. And we must be clear that we can identify Jesus, as John did, for who he is. Jesus was asked many times in many ways throughout the years of his ministry, who are you? Are we happy to answer for him? And then our freedom. Well, in our relationship with Jesus, we have our freedom, our new covenant, our new contract with God. Passover was commanded to be the start of a new year for the Jews, a new beginning for us, the promise of freedom from past suffering. Because there are plenty of freedoms around these days, aren't there? As well as being who you want, you can often apparently do whatever you want because you have human rights and individual freedom. But I think that freedom needs a purpose and a meaning. It's right to use what God has given you to develop into a strong, loving, caring, yes, even hugely successful person. As long as we realise that we are never going to be the centre of the story. There is a wider purpose for us, and in following Jesus, the sort of personal freedom that no amount of money or influencing can create. Let us pray that we can identify the purpose of God's freedom in our life. And then, remembrance. Well, to remember everything that God has done for us. Yes, when we were fighting off our personal burden of slavery, maybe, but also when we're celebrating new life and new opportunities. To remember what Jesus did for us when he offered up his life for the future of ours. And do you remember that instruction that I mentioned before to the Israelites to daub the lamb's blood on their door frames by using bundles of hyssop branches? Well, the significance is that as Jesus hung on the cross, A soldier dipped a sponge into a jar of wine and passed it up to him, using a branch of hyssop. And throughout the Old Testament, there are references to the cleansing and purifying nature of hyssop. At Passover, it purified the offering of the blood, which ultimately saved them. On Good Friday, as the hyssop branch reaches up to him, it symbolizes for us the chance that God offers us to be washed clean of our sins. Remember that at the last meal, Jesus broke the bread and told them, "This is my body." And he shared the cup of wine whilst telling them, "This is my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sin." His broken body and the blood from his wounds are for us a new exodus, a new way forward, a new freedom offered to every one of us. Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, his identity is not in doubt. He brings us freedom. Let's remember what he does for us. He is our sacrificial lamb. Amen.